So this morning we continue our Epiphany sermon series. And of course, not forgetting that meaning of Epiphany, that sense of a dawning realization. And I think this morning we get that sense of a dawning realization from the disciples that are around John and around Jesus. And John doesn't really, he doesn't give us much opportunity to guess, as we see that his character, John the Baptist, in the Gospel, immediately says, look, he points at Jesus and he says, the Lamb of God. It's a massive clue as to Jesus' identity. And so it begins that revelation of who Jesus is. But I want to, before we kind of get much further, I feel there's something I need to get off my chest. I suppose you could look at it as a bit of a confession. It's something I've been thinking about sharing with you for a while. And it is that I really love the TV show Poirot. I thought we might have some fans. That's encouraging. Thank you. But there may also be some people who, you know, their estimation of me has just plummeted to the ground. I'm not sure. I love Poirot. It's only a recent discovery for me. And it's one of those things. I watched a couple and thought, actually, you know what? I really enjoy this. I love that, the sense of mystery about it. And so I pressed record on our sort of TV recording device we have. And of course, what I didn't realize is that when you record one thing, it then records the whole series or season. But then, of course, I didn't realize that there are about 1,000 episodes of Poirot. So now it takes up pretty much the entire of our space on our TV recording device. There's not much room for anything else. But what I love about Poirot is that sense of there's always, it's all around mystery. That sense of you start off, something usually fairly gruesome happens, and then you spend the rest of the time, or certainly I do, sat there going, right, now, who was it? Was it the butler? Was it the maid? Was it the sister, the aunt, the cousin? There's that sort of opportunity to guess as you go through. And knowing Agatha Christie, there's usually some sort of triple engagement or some sort of love triangle or some sort, you know, some daughter, long lost daughter that stands to inherit something. And so all these plots kind of intertwine. And there's that great moment at the end, isn't there, where Poirot gets everyone together, usually in some sort of Art Deco drawing room. Everyone's there together. And he kind of unveils this plot. And you kind of go, oh, of course, I hadn't, you know, if only we'd known that all along, I would have had an idea about the plot, about what this meant. Or you can give yourself a pat on the back, of course, if you've got it right. If you spotted that person and you thought, oh, I knew it was them all along. The Gospel of John, and you might be thinking, well, how on earth does Poirot relate to our Gospel? Well, I like to think of John, really, as it's like the worst whodunit ever. Because immediately, as we hear within the first few verses of John, that talks all about the Word was God. And as we see, moves on very swiftly into the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And right at the start, John the Baptist, that is, points to Jesus and said, this is the Lamb of God. If that was Poirot, it'd be like the worst clue ever. It'd be pointless watching the rest of the episode. You would know exactly who it was. John the Baptist points to Jesus and says, this is the Lamb of God. And now, does anybody know what the significance of, you know, we use that term, Lamb of God, a lot. Does anyone know why we use it? Where does it come from? Any ideas? Old Testament. Sacrifice. It comes from the Passover. And so back in Exodus, when we read about Moses leading his tribe out of Egypt, there's all these plagues, as he's trying to, God and Moses are trying to persuade Pharaoh to let his people go. And then the final judgment comes, and those Jewish families are asked to splash the blood of a lamb onto their doorposts and the door. So as the angel of the Lord passes over, the firstborn sons of the Jewish families are spared. It's only the Egyptian families that are afflicted. And so there is this long association with Passover, with the sacrifice of a lamb, and then of the subsequent exodus of the escape from Egypt, from enslavement. And so when John says, look, the Lamb of God, really what he's drawing for those around him, but also for all everyone that reads that gospel, he's drawing this massive line from Exodus, from Moses, all the way to Jesus. And he's saying, here is a different sort of lamb. The Lamb of God, the sacrifice once and for all. But instead of blood splashed on the door and on the door frame, it's blood that's splashed on a cross. And instead of a nation being brought out of slavery, everyone, every single one of us is brought out of captivity of sin. So when John says, I told you this is a massive clue, didn't I? When John the Baptist says, this is the Lamb of God, it's a huge, huge clue to the identity of Jesus. Now, there was a sort of fad in the, I think, probably 90s of magic eye books. Did anyone have a magic eye book? Do you remember those? Do you remember them? So they had this, it was sort of a weird sort of repeating pattern usually in a book or on a poster. And you sort of had to kind of semi-cross your eyes, and then sort of a very simple image would then appear that was hidden. And the one thing I really remember about this is that either you could do this or you couldn't. There was no sort of halfway house. But there was this sense of, if you were able to kind of see into this picture, then you could see what lay behind, what was hidden in plain sight. And so we see in our passage that Andrew and another disciple are stood with John the Baptist. As John says, look, this is the Lamb of God. And I imagine it in that moment a bit like that point where suddenly you finally manage to focus on this magic eye book, and suddenly the image pops out, and it's like, oh, it was there all the time. But suddenly they've realized this is the Messiah. And so they go after him, they follow him. They were looking for him. And I think it's that sense of, a bit like the magic eye book, is that you have to, in order to see, you have to be able to sort of see almost beyond what's on the surface. And I think this is the same. The disciples were stood there and they were looking beyond the surface of the world. They were looking for something new. And so they saw Jesus. They saw him and they followed him. But what I love about this passage is that when they encounter Jesus, when they follow him, he turns around, he says to them, well, what is it that you want? They ask him, well, where are you staying? They ask him that because they want to spend time with him. And his response is, come and see. It's that invitation. He doesn't say, actually, I'm busy. He doesn't turn them away. He says, come and see. And it's because not only were they, the disciples, looking for Jesus, that he was looking for them. So this is a two-way process. That they are looking for him and he is looking for them. And in the same way, Jesus is looking for us. And so I wonder, if you have had that encounter with Jesus, with God, what was it like for you? Was it like that hidden magic eye picture where suddenly what just appeared like to be a surface, you know, a hidden image, suddenly something popped into view? Suddenly there was this kind of moment of realization. Or was there something more gradual? Was it like a dawning realization over time that actually there's more to this than meets the eye? Or perhaps today we're still seeking. We're still seeking God. Perhaps we long for that first encounter to learn more, to know more about God. Perhaps we found God a long time ago and we're looking for new and fresh time. So how can we find Jesus for ourselves? Well, I think there are three key ways. Firstly, reading Scripture. Because I think Scripture tells us about the character of God. It tells us who He is. It gives us clues about His character. So we can understand who God is. So when we see Him, we can go, oh, I see. I see God. I think as well as Scripture, it's important that we pray. Because that's our way of hearing God speak. Of forming that relationship with God and opening ourselves up to Him. Allowing Him to speak to us. And also, I think it's important that we are open to the Holy Spirit. Because that is the way that God speaks to us in the here and now. Jesus ascended, and then at Pentecost, He sent the Spirit. And just as it rested on Jesus' shoulders, so it rests on our shoulders today. And so Scripture tells us about the character and nature of God. Prayer helps us have that relationship to listen to God. Or even dial in on the phone, as it may happen occasionally. There's all sorts of ways God speaks to us. And then the Holy Spirit that helps us have that intimacy to know that God is present with us. And perhaps you're thinking, well, actually, I've known Jesus for a long time. So what's the message for this morning for me? Well, I would say then, how can we be like John the Baptist? The people that are pointing and saying, look, this is God. How can we reveal God's identity to others? I think we can do this in our words. We can do this in our actions. We can do this in our viewpoint, how we look at the world. One of my favourite quotes is from Francis of Assisi. You've probably heard it before. But he says, preach the gospel always, but use words if necessary. And I love that. Because I think it shows that it's not just about what we say. It's about who we are and what we do, what we stand for. That's how we show, how we point the way to the Lamb of God. And so this morning, I suppose the question is, are we willing to accept that invitation to come and see? Whatever stage of faith journey we are at, however long we've been a Christian, are we willing to accept that invitation to come and see? To continue to seek God in our lives? Let's pray. So gracious God, we thank You that You are the God of invitation. And that whenever we seek You, You are seeking us. Help us to seek You this day and every day in our lives. And whatever stage of the journey we are on, if we're looking for our first encounter, or if we're looking for our 100th or 1,000th encounter with you, Lord, help us to seek you out afresh this day. In Jesus' name, amen.